Chapter 9. The Path of the Sword. In the face of ancient evil, one would rather be a broken jade than a brick intact. Chinese proverb. The wreckage of suits and stars orbited around them. Throw down your weapons. When the weak are armed, they lose control. The weak should not fight. Nitaku was the unmoving center of a galaxy of debris, and the stars moved around them both. I'll keep on taking my own path. I take no orders. The only thing that was no longer moving was time. It had ceased to function, along with his Gundam, leaving Wu Fei hanging in space like a fly in amber, as minutes or centuries fled by outside. Wu Fei, strength is in the mind, and the mind is a battle against oneself. It would be easier to fight a battle against oneself if a whole fleet of mobile dolls and warmongering fools from every faction in space didn't continually insist on interfering. Wu Fei thought with slight sarcasm. It colored his meditation like bubbles of air caught in the same amber. At least, justice is believing in yourself, not lying to yourself, and never betraying yourself. At least he'd followed his path to its logical conclusion. He hoped Master Li would approve. The old man had also followed his righteous path, to pretty much the same conclusion as Wu Fei. All roads led to the same grave at the end, but the manner of going honored or dishonored the life that was... Beep, beep. The noise fractured the amber and the eternal silence of debris around him. Wu Fei opened his eyes a fraction, glanced at the long-distance radar, analyzed the approaching signature, recognized the FOF signal. Huh. Well, Nitaku, looks like our road may go on a little further. He closed his eyes again and waited patiently for the transport shuttle to approach and pick him up. The door opened to reveal the shuttle's cabin and occupants. Wu Fei glanced around with surprise at Hiro off to one side. He was sitting in his usual pose, arms crossed, face set. A brief glance up was acknowledgement and greeting. And Wu Fei met the gaze for a second in return. He then turned to the shuttle's pilot, who was not someone he'd expected. The last he'd seen of Sally, she'd been with her resistance cell in China. But that had been long ago, in terms of political upheaval and rearrangement of allegiances. If he'd thought of her at all, he would have been quite unable to say if she still had any opponents to fight against in China, or if he would have to consider her a friend or foe at this juncture. Her presence here with Hiro, and two, now three, Gundams in her shuttle's hold, probably meant she was not an enemy. It didn't mean she was on his side, of course. No one was. It was simpler that way. "It's been a while," Sally said, with her quiet smile. Her eyes flicked curiously between Hiro and Wu Fei, but if she was expecting a greeting between them, she was going to be disappointed. Or, to be more precise, she'd missed it. She missed the import of the next few words between Hiro and Wu Fei as well, or she might not have continued to sit there so calmly. Wu Fei almost smiled at Hiro's curt statement. It had been too long. He'd only left a month ago, but it was long enough in terms of battle and destruction and a solitary path. And getting distracted by people whining at him to join this or that side, trying their irrefutable arguments on him, and expecting him to fall in line. It was nice to be once more with someone who understood exactly how he thought. So, Heavy Arms wasn't spaceworthy, and Nitaku was too damaged for a long spaceflight. He very much doubted Hiro would let him borrow the other suit, not without one hell of a fight. But he had to get to Libra, follow his path to its inevitable and bloody conclusion. Wu Fei considered the implications of Sally's flight plan to Peace Million, even as he found himself sarcastically suggesting he'd commandeer the shuttle and head for Libra instead. His baiting was rewarded with the slightest snort from the seat on the other side of the cabin, but Sally apparently took him seriously. "Good point. I never thought of that. But on Peace Million, there are supplies and engineers who can repair your Gundam. You can go and attack Libra afterwards," she added kindly. Wu Fei glanced at Hiro, trying to read him. "Is that why you want me to come? Just to repair Nataku, no strings attached, no promises made or demanded?" Hiro said nothing. Wu Fei noted his silence, as he noted that Hiro was on his way to Peace Million as well. Sally was looking at them curiously. She'd obviously been surprised at their lack of greeting when he'd come in, and she seemed slightly embarrassed by Hiro's silence now. She gave Wu Fei an apologetic smile, uncomfortable at the lack of friendliness, which she thought she was perceiving. She was missing a lot of history, Wu Fei reminded himself, as well as the ability to follow the silent argument that had been running practically since he'd entered the cabin. Wu Fei considered Sally's offer of help aboard Peace Million, and sat down with a scowl. He felt Hiro note both his slight concession and his overall rejection, a flexing of strong shoulders, bared by the tank top without any regards to the chill of the air conditioning, told him what Hiro thought of his stubbornness. Then the alarm sounded. Wu Fei's steps slowed as he passed Nataku. The machine, still noble in its ruin, seemed to beckon. Hiro was right, of course. It would be suicide to use his Gundam to fight one Virgo, let alone 40. But it would be his path. If he was going to die, he wanted it to be in Nataku's arms. Okay, that sounded a bit defeatist. No, the attraction of that plan was that it was simple, and he understood it thoroughly. He depended on no one. He was alone, as he should be, with Nataku, and he would fight until he died. End of story. Whereas this, he picked up his pace and used the low gravity to float to the far end of the hold. This he didn't understand at all. Take Zero? What was Hiro thinking? Though his mind was racing, most of Wu Fei was already in combat mode. Slipping quickly into a command seat of familiar design, booting up systems, waiting for Sally to open the cargo bay doors. Hiro understood him better than anyone. Why on earth was he giving Wu Fei the means to get out? Out of the trap of the White Fang forces surrounding him, and out of the snare of Sally's kind offer that would leave him beholden to others. Out of all the complications that were trying to drag him into one side or the other of the fight for peace, trying to integrate him into one or the other set of values. His fingers flew over the thruster settings, the radar panels. They were fortunately similar to Nataku's setup. Right, this was Gundam Zero, the original. He could use it. In fact, he could take it. Oh, he would never be dishonorable enough to leave Sally and a now defenseless Hiro. Why had Hiro let him concentrate? He wouldn't leave them to face 40 Virgos in a shuttle. He'd get rid of the enemy first. But after that, how could Hiro know he would bring Zero back? The radar picked up the enemy, and Wufei's pulse started to accelerate with anticipation as he maneuvered out of the bay. The jets and the thrusters obeyed his delicate touches to perfection. He could feel the power in this machine. He frowned slightly at the targeting system. He didn't like the heads-up display. He didn't need it, and he preferred to see his enemy face-to-face and without electronic interpretations creating a false impression of remove between them. This was life or death. He was about to get more intimate with these machines than he'd ever been with anyone, save the man who'd given him this further chance to strike back. A crosshair danced on the viewer before him. What had Hiro meant? Why had he warned Wu Fei about the cockpit system? The hum turned into a roar as he cleared the shuttle and rocketed away towards his foe. While you pilot Zero, It will tell you who your enemies are. What had Hiro meant by that? Wu Fei knew who his enemies were. That's why he'd left Earth, to make that very clear. His enemies were those foolish enough to bring an arsenal into the fragile clockwork balance of space. His enemies were the ones who had brought injustice to the colonies, the rule of the weak bearing weapons. His enemies were the ones who thought their strength was greater than his, and were trying to impose their values on him. His enemies were the ones he'd destroyed to prove them just how wrong they were. Well, Zero, show me. Let's see what you can do. His enemy closed around him. It was time to see who was right and who was the strongest. He dodged the first three shots. Stupid dolls. Moronic pre-programmed pieces of hardware. They always opened with the same volley. He could avoid it in his sleep. The first two went down easily. It was the usual opening gambit, almost boring in its predictability. He caught the next shot on his shield, and felt a moment of elation at the similarity between Zero and his beloved Nataku. Two more units went down. He was in the middle of their formation now. That and their numbers made the next few moves of his enemy unpredictable. And now the real fight was... He dodged and hurled himself forward with his beam sword swinging. Two more down. Okay, scratch that. The dolls were sluggish responding today. He could still see their programming jerking them around like cheap puppets, putting them exactly where he wanted them to be to slash, hack, cut them down. Two more exploded in silent blossoms of fire and metal behind him. He swung the beam cannon instinctively, knowing exactly where that clump of dolls would dodge and regroup, and... The beam scythed through the air, and the thought cut through his mind with the same luminous intensity. The cockpit system! It was... Targets and crosshairs danced before his eyes on the screen, and in his mind like little bullseyes. It was somehow... Three dolls tried to dodge and regroup, and were met by the beam of destructive light right at the supposedly safe spot they had gathered. Interesting. Two more machines down, the sword scything them in a single graceful arc, sending their carcasses rocketing into a third on the predicted trajectory. At that point, Wu Fei realized he'd been fighting with his eyes closed for the last minute, at least. The attack vectors and crosshairs in his mind grew frantic. The doll's program was trying to adapt to its target's greater speed and maneuverability. It was starting to compensate. Wu Fei smiled savagely, alone against his enemies and relishing it. Now it would get fun. He slashed and spun and dodged, and the Virgos fell, and one of them got through his defenses and shot him straight in the power pack on his Gundam's back. Zero exploded into a ball of fire and molten metal, its cabin bathed in heat so great the human body within didn't burn but vaporized. Wu Fei shouted and slammed back into his seat. What was that? He was thrown forward as two beams hit him, and he sent Zero spinning and diving away on instinct. His eyes were wide but unseeing, mind screaming. As Zero showed him the path each Virgo would take, and how they would try to outmaneuver him, and how they would eventually... Maybe not these, but the next wave, or the next, how they would eventually kill him. No! Wu Fei died again and again. Each twist he took to avoid his fate placed him in the path of the next deadly trap. Zero was showing him his future, what there was of it. The mathematical equations of his solitary fight were running at top speed within the new Wings computer system, and coming up with only one outcome. I can fight on my own, and I'll die that way, Wu Fei shouted. He didn't feel the shot slamming into him. His eyes were blind to the spiral of vectors tightening around him like a noose. Trays. Zero peeled his reasons and excuses away layer by layer until it hit rock. Wu Fei snarled and swung his beam at the image in his mind. Trays! Destroy him! Destroy the enemy! The image melted and a Virgo exploded, just as it was about to shoot him point blank. But Wu Fei barely noticed. He was feeling the press of a cold blade against his throat, as Trayz defeated him again and again. Trayz is stronger than you are, and he has an army behind him. How will you defeat him by yourself? Wing Zero was as coldly challenging as its owner, pushing Wufei to move past the images of himself he wanted to keep, to burn down to what was essential. And then there was the other one. Zero flicked a few more preconceptions from his mind, getting down to the meat of the matter. The other one. Miliardo Peacecraft, since that was the name he'd decided on this week. Didn't matter. The man who had armed space. The man who had tainted the one thing that was still pure and untouched by the madness on Earth, and dragged it into the final conflict. Zex, in an illusion of Wing Zero, was there, right in front of him, trying to tempt Wufei to his side. Fight for the colonies. Join me. Wufei smiled and drove his sword without hesitation into that maddening, self-righteous bastard. Outside, in the real world, another Virgo exploded, unnoticed. The dolls were having trouble regrouping fast enough, Zero destroying each time the central unit of their formations, leaving them to scurry in tatters. Not that the pilot was fully aware of any of this. In the cockpit, and in Wufei's head, Trayz and Zex were always just out of reach. They were the ones he had to attack. They were his enemy. Their armies were just symptoms, tools for them. They were the ones who had caused him so much pain and death already, and were planning on unleashing more on a scale never seen before. It was his duty to stop them. So why? Why was Zero showing him dying again and again, and his enemy out of reach? Was this his future? He knew he was going to die soon, but would he fail as well? Wufei tasted blood from where he'd savagely bit down on his own flesh in a rage and horror he'd never felt before. He didn't mind dying, but he wouldn't, couldn't, not make those men pay first. His whole life, every single battle he'd fought, had been for that. He couldn't just... Finally, it came down to the crux. Zero had shown him his enemies, all right. Hero had been completely correct, as usual. Now it was showing him his future, with beautiful, cruel clarity. He could stay solitary and uncompromised, and die trying to bring his enemies to justice. It would certainly look glorious on his tombstone, but he knew it would be a failure. He didn't want anything written on his tombstone if those of his opponents weren't right next to his. His other option. A flash. His memory, or Zero's interference, it no longer mattered. Duo, Troa, Catra. Hero, glaring at him in a familiar pose of acceptance and challenge. They were following a different path, but it led to the same destination, to the deaths of the two warmongers who were planning on putting the solar system to the torch. Zero seemed to smirk at him. Wufei registered, at the very edge of his perception, that his body had stopped fighting, because all his enemies were destroyed. For now. He was floating in a sea of stars and ruin again. This time, it was his mind that was adrift. His enemies. His enemies were Trayz and Zex, and he would defeat them. That was the only path he could choose if he wanted to stay true to himself and the people who had died for him. And he now had the means to achieve this. All he had to do was accept the bitter realization that he couldn't do it alone. Of course, that didn't mean he wasn't going to die, Zero informed him, almost as an afterthought, before switching off the strange targeting system and powering down. Chances were still good that the closest he would get to his goal would be dying while helping the others achieve it. But they would achieve it, if they went for it with the same determination that they always showed. They were the only pure warriors on Earth and in space. He knew that, somehow, the five of them would prevail, even if they were not all alive to see it happen. Wufei put his numbed hands back on the controls, jetted toward Sally's shuttle, some distance off. He decided, as he left the broken pieces of metal in empty orbits behind him, that that was, in finality, justice enough for him. Now to give Sally the good news. Hiro already knew it, of course, had known it since Wu Fei had accepted to use Wing Zero to defeat his enemy rather than die uselessly in Nataku. Wu Fei found himself smiling coldly. Never underestimate Hiro Yui. He'd grown even more impressive in the last few months. This new goal of his, this peace, it made him so strong and wiser than before. Huh, come to think of it, he'd been fighting with Zero as well. That must have been quite the life-changing experience. He'd be working with Hiro again. He'd be feeling that admiration rivalry, following in Hiro's footsteps, fighting back-to-back, challenging each other and becoming both better for it. He'd missed that. A lot. He thought that Hiro had too. Hiro must have seen the same future he had in Zero, realized that they would need to all be together on this if they wanted to have a chance of winning against both the massive armies gathering to bring about Armageddon. A last flicker of anger burned in Wu Fei's mind as he felt the way Hiro had manipulated him into joining the others. But it passed, and Wu Fei felt something heavy fall from his shoulders. He wasn't giving in to Hiro. He was winning the fight against himself. He was finally moving beyond the clouds of doubt and self-loathing that had shrouded his mind. He had decided alone how he was going to live his life, and he'd chosen his death. And in both, he'd be accompanied by strong, honorable warriors. Really, Nataku, he thought, as Zero maneuvered back into the shuttle and he caught sight of his Gundam. Really, what more could we possibly ask for? Wufei's fists struck air. Again. He didn't waste his breath in a snarl, but used the low gravity to hurl himself forward and flip around. This time, it was his foot that scythed the empty spot where his target had been. Wu Fei spun on his axis, and his backhand nearly connected, but the flexible waist bent back and knuckles only brushed cloth. Wu Fei straightened, and he crossed his arms. Barton, do you call this sparring? Green eyes dropped to Wu Fei's fists. No, survival, Troa said calmly, hands still in his pockets. He took another lazy step back. He'd made his evasions look ridiculously easy, as if he were dancing in the low gravity of Peace Million. Wu Fei rolled his eyes and took up an attack stance again. I won't hurt you, much, not if you parry. He ignored Duo's snort behind him. I thought you wanted a workout. I'm getting it, Troa said, shaking his head to loosen a few hairs from his brow. Wu Fei was gratified to see that he was sweating a little bit, despite his apparently easy evasions. Troa had taken another step back, and he was now too close to the balustrade that separated the large mezzanine from the drop to the workroom floor beyond. Wu Fei suppressed a smile and attacked, knowing his opponent wouldn't be able to dodge him this time, backed up against cold metal. His fist struck air again. Wu Fei gasped and looked up, in time to see Troa end his graceful backflip with a handstand on the balustrade. A shove of strong arms sent the young man rising in the low gravity to tumble against the ceiling. He pushed off sideways and landed almost casually on the arm of a repair mecha in the workshop, a few feet away from the mezzanine. Behind Wu Fei, Catra choked on his protein drink, and Duo whistled. The L5 pilot put his fists on his hips and glared up at the acrobat, trying not to show he'd been rather impressed at the evasion. Can I ask why you're not even bothering to fight back, Barton? Because he's got his memory back now, Duo crowed behind Wu Fei's back. And he remembers that you could knock Hiro on his back one times out of two. He might have had amnesia, but Tro was never dumb. Wu Fei shot a scowl back at the two-penny gallery. Duo had set up a card table in the mezzanine, where they took their breaks, when they weren't working on their Gundams. Or fighting. They'd been doing a lot of both these past 2 weeks, and they were all feeling the tension. Duo and Katra's card game had never gotten off the ground. They kept losing track of whose turn it was. They'd apparently welcomed the distraction when Duo had suggested Wufei and Troa have a match. It was a toss-up which part of the staggering attack on Libra was the hardest on them. The constant grind of wave upon wave of dolls that Zex had launched at them to wear them down had been beyond draining. In fact, Zex's plan might have succeeded without Katra's brilliant tactics that had given them the upper hand at the 11th hour. The problem was, Piecemillion had been damaged, and they lost their prey. They were now hobbling after Libra on its course to Earth, and a final conflagration. Now their enemy was tension, the hopelessness of not being able to attack and finish Libra, and the long, draining wait between MD attacks, which almost came as a relief. Wufei was finding it almost as frustrating to pin down Troa. "Barton, if I were a real enemy, would you spend your time dodging and dancing about like this?" he snapped. Troa seemed to consider the question for 1 second, and then Wufei was looking down the barrel of the man's gun. "No," Troa said quietly. Wufei nodded gently. "Good answer." He ignored Katra's sharp protest behind him and tensed his muscles as discreetly as he could, ready to launch himself into a spin that would hurl him across the empty space between the mezzanine and the mecha while dodging a pretend shot. Before he could attack, though, Troa put up his weapon, then holstered it, and rejoined him with a graceful leap and twist, landing on the floor with... Wufei scowled, his hands back in his pockets. Wufei had politely taken 2 steps back to allow him room to land. He now dropped into an attack stance. "You ready to give me a target this time?" he sneered. "Yes," Troa said, but he was walking around Wufei towards the card table. "I doubt I'd be much of a challenge for you, though, so I'll let Yui take over." Wufei straightened up and turned in the direction of Troa's nod. Hiro had come in, hair still damp from his shower. He was looking at the people in the mezzanine, analyzing their poses, the scene he'd interrupted. Finally, his eyes caught and held Wufei's own. Wufei felt a faint crackle of electricity run down his spine. Hiro's eyes were challenging, but Wing's pilot didn't have sparring in mind. "That worked too," Wufei thought. "Hey, where you going?" Duo said, as Wufei walked towards the door. Hiro had already disappeared. "If you're going to beat the crap out of each other, can't I at least watch?" "No," Hiro said from the hallway. Wufei didn't even bother answering. He closed the door on Duo's complaints, and Katra's stern warning not to injure each other. The last few weeks existed like an island in Wufei's life. He had no more doubts, no torturous failings to beat himself with. He left them all out in space with the shattered remnants of the Virgos. He was living his life like a blade on its final downward cut. At the end of the sword strike was death, for his enemies and for himself. But while the cold steel swung like an unstoppable force, nothing could slow him down or make him waver. He wanted some relief from the nagging tension and momentary boredom, and his partner's suggestion was as good as another. At one time, he'd have hesitated and made Hiro fight him for it, to prove himself he didn't need this release, wasn't subject to this weakness. At one time, he'd have been worried that the others would guess that sparring hardly required the participants to isolate themselves. At one time, he'd have worried about a lot of things. Amazing what the foreknowledge of your own death can do to clear your mind. He followed Hiro without any hesitation or afterthought, beyond wondering what they would get up to this time. Their arrangement had been resumed quietly and without any question, as if it were merely another of the conveniences Piecemillion offered. The punishing rhythm of fighting had left them little time for anything involved. It had been savage dry humps in Wing's cabin, or the munitions depot, whenever they could have a few uninterrupted minutes. The attacks were less frequent now, but they'd been busy helping with Peace Million's repairs, so time was still a precious commodity. Wufei cut short speculation as Hiro, a few feet in front of him, turned down a corridor and opened one of the doors at random. The likable thing about Peace Million was that it had a lot of small and out-of-the-way, unused bunk rooms, with locks on the door. Wufei looked around the small space. It contained a solid metal bed with a foam mattress, covered by a brown, rough-woven cover, a chair, a small bedside tablet, bolted to the wall, and a set of drawers and nothing else. "I take it sparring wasn't what you had in mind?" Wufei asked ironically, just to see what Hiro would say. Hiro locked the door behind them. "Good answer," Wufei thought, with a small, savage smile. "I'm getting quite a few of those today." His smile faltered when Hiro neared the bed and tossed a tube on the bedside tablet before bending to untie his boots. It wasn't the burn cream this time, but Wufei didn't think it was toothpaste either. "Oh, you want to..." Wufei lost a good part of his enthusiasm. It wasn't that he minded what they'd done in Italy. In fact, he'd rather hoped for another occasion, where this time he might actually try to enjoy it. It was annoying that he'd had sex, and the thing he remembered most about it was the look of the wallpaper, the eyes of a painted saint, the feel of the comforter under his knees and cheek, and an overwhelming confusion and resentful embarrassment. Yes, this needed to be addressed, but not today. The match with Troa had warmed him up. He didn't need to be passive again. Having Hiro screw him and then jerking him off would probably be relaxing, but he wanted more than that. Right now, he'd prefer to spar. Hiro had straightened, dropping his half-undone laces, and was looking at him quizzically through his bangs. Wufei shrugged, knowing he'd be expressing his reluctance. Hiro seemed to understand his silent protest, and took two steps across the room until he was near Wufei. He didn't grab the Chinese pilot, or kiss him. He just leaned over till his breath brushed the caramel-colored skin below Wufei's ear, and murmured, "This is next time." Next time? Wufei was distracted by the proximity of the other body, triggering his reflexes at the same time it excited him. What next time? "Oh. Unless you don't want to, we can have a match instead." Hiro tried to take a step towards the door, but Wufei's hand was flat against his chest as he passed him, stopping his progress. "What did you scrounge this time?" Wufei asked casually, tilting a chin to the tube on the stand. The hand holding Hiro back from the door was as firm as rock, though Wing's pilot was pushing against it, as if testing his resolve. "It's actual lubricant. I found it in Peace Million's dispensary." "Really? It'd be a pity to let your effort go to waste, then." "Sure." The face near his was openly taunting him. "Certain," Wufei said, straightening his arm and hurtling Hiro back towards the bed. The other pilot managed to catch his balance with his knees against the metal frame, but then Wufei's weight landed on him, and they went down in a screech of metal. The initial blaze of fury faded from Hiro's eyes, and he glared up at Wufei instead of retaliating. "So do you want to fuck me or spar, Chang? Make up your mind." "It's quite made up." Wufei rolled them both over twice to get them both fully on the bed, and crushed Hiro's lips with his. There was no more embarrassment, hesitation, misplaced sense of propriety or reserve. Only two young bodies, with the blood pounding through them. They would be dead soon. They would take their enemies with them. They would paint the heavens in the colors of fire and destruction. They would take what they wanted from life first, even if they had to rip it out. Blood howled like storm winds in Wufei's ears, as Hiro thrust his hand down into his pants and caressed him roughly. Pleasure shuddered up and down his spine, unexpected in intensity. The pounding in his ears and his body picked up the rhythm of those hard thrusts. This was as good as battle. He grabbed Hiro's hand, jerked it away, and slammed it back into the bed. Blue eyes widened with surprise, burned with lust. With his other hand, Wufei gripped the edge of the tank top and pulled it up the supple body beneath his. Hiro tore his hand away and squirmed out of the top. "Take off the shorts," Wufei growled, as he started ripping his own clothes off. He didn't think he could be trusted to remove the tight spandex from that awkward bulge it covered without hurting his partner. There was a tense 10 seconds of rustling and thumping as clothes and shoes were tossed to the ground. Then the metal bedframe screeched in surprise as two bodies collided and tangled on the old cover. Hiro bit into caramel-colored skin, just above the right nipple. A stab of unadulterated sensual pleasure made Wufei choke, then twisted and felt hurriedly at the side of the bed. Wufei found himself torn from the neck he was nipping, a pulse hammering sensuously beneath his tongue. His hand, shameless as an animal, was curling roughly around Hiro's cock. Something was thrust into his other hand, and he stared at it blindly for a few seconds, before recognizing the tube of lubricant. "You have to prepare me for penetration," Hiro said, voice still cool, even though he was panting. "You have to..." "I know," Wufei snarled. "I did the research." Over a month ago, before he left Earth, he'd been embarrassed, scrolling through the information with a distasteful scowl on his face, glancing defensively over his shoulder. Foolish. All his hesitations, his little doubts, and his virgin embarrassment were small, pathetic little rag-blown specks against the hurricane that had already engulfed his past, his self-image, his failures, his losses, and his upcoming death. He carelessly spread some of the transparent gel onto his fingers with one swipe. Then, as Hiro opened his mouth to add something, probably more instructions, crushed the parted lips with his own. His fingers felt blindly for Hiro's entrance. Just one to start with, he remembered at the last second. Wufei's other hand grabbed Hiro's and slammed it back down again, over the teen's head, into the mattress. It stayed limp with surprise for a second, then tensed as Wufei's finger plunged in without hesitation. The arm strained slowly, dangerously, against his. His own muscles shifted to counter the movement. Conscious thought had been blown out with the rest of the petty concerns. But their bodies wanted this. The play of muscles, the striving, the confrontation, the counterpoint of violence. Hiro's other hand fastened onto his shoulder, with a grip that strangled Wufei's last worries. If he did anything wrong or hurt Hiro, he'd find himself thrown off the bed and probably into next week as well. Wufei grinned fiercely and went back to chewing on the life beat in Hiro's neck, feeling there the excitement that wasn't so apparent in Hiro's face and eyes. He rubbed himself against the firm muscles of his partner's thighs, listened with interest to the wild breathing next to his ear as his finger probed. Words flashed through his mind and were quickly washed away by the flow of blood, drowned out by the hammering of his pulse. Stretch, prostate, scissoring motion, whatever. Hiro was tougher than Gundanium, was highly resistant to pain, and was as impatient as he was, if the way he was squirming down on Wufei's finger was any indication. Any second now they might be under attack again, and didn't have too much time to lose. Wufei twisted his fingers and slipped in a second digit. Hiro bucked against him a bit. The pulse under Wufei's mouth rang like a hammer, then evened out at a quicker pace yet. But the legs he couldn't even remember shoving apart were reaching down and rubbing sensuously against his own bare thighs. Wufei removed his fingers, rubbed them against each other to spread the lube a bit more evenly. He'd not really gelled up the third finger in his haste. Hiro snarled something near his ear, in Japanese, Wufei noted with amusement, in the tiny corner of his brain that could still think, although he didn't have enough free brain cells left to translate. The words were cut off as Wufei slipped his fingers back in again. The tight ring of muscles was feeling a lot looser now, though there was still a lot of tension, making his first few thrusts hard. He should be worried about hurting Hiro. He wasn't. Hiro's words disappeared in a hiss, and shudders ran through the body beneath Wufei's. Hiro's hand left his shoulder and grabbed him by the back of the neck, pressing Wufei's mouth back down to the wild beat in the throat. Concentrating on what his fingers were doing, he'd leaned away, his breath hissing in and out, tickling the skin an inch from his lips. A rough thumb started rubbing the base of Wufei's neck in a slow, hard, totally unconscious movement. Hiro's head jerked back, and a gasp made Wufei glance up blindly. The hand on his neck convulsed. From the corner of his eye, he saw Hiro's lips move, blue eyes nailed to the ceiling, in a glaze of surprise. What? Oh, yeah, prostate, sweet spot, something like that. Stimulation, pleasurable. The words he'd read on the screen were wind-blown leaves flashing before his mind's eye, without letting themselves be caught. He remembered Hiro hitting that spot. Damn, what had his fingers been doing? His mind had been centering on his aching erection, and wondering when Hiro would be ready for the next step, and how Wufei would know when he was. He twisted his fingers again. He didn't recall feeling anything special. It was all warmth, slick inner skin, and pressure on his fingers. He hadn't felt... Damn it! He wasn't a doctor! He didn't know... Hiro choked, and the hand on Wufei's neck threatened to break it. But he hadn't felt anything special there, either. His fingers tried to regain their prior position, but with Hiro squirming and everything melting into a mess of sensations, Hiro growled something like frustration an inch from his ear. Wufei realized he was staring blindly at a grayish foam pillow and tried to lift his head to look at his partner. But the hand on his neck didn't give him an inch. Their other arms were still wrestling against the mattress, forcing Wufei to pin Hiro's body down with his own just to stay balanced. Wiry muscles writhed beneath his chest, his torso, so erotic and alive it took his breath away. The pressure on his neck disappeared, and the arm Wufei had thought he was pinning down lifted him bodily with sickening ease. Ready, Hiro grunted. I'm ready. Go on. Wufei grabbed the slender hips, found his voice for a few precious seconds. Do you want to turn around or... This is fine. Strong hands fastened on his shoulders. Lube, Hiro snapped. Wufei dragged his attention away from his erection and Hiro's ass. Lube? Hiro had said he was ready. What? Oh, lube. Yes. Damn it, where had the tube... He couldn't even remember dropping the damn thing. Mandarin curses punctuated his ragged breathing as he glanced around wildly. Hiro bent supplely at the waist, his legs still tangled with Wufei's, and grabbed at a fold in the rumpled cover. He thrust the tube at Wufei with a reprimanding scowl, which Wufei ignored, fumbling with the cap, his slick fingers making it hard to open. An impatient squeeze emptied out way too much of the lube into his palm. He swore again, half-screwed on the cap in two quick movements. "Do we need this for anything else?" he panted, holding up the tube in a hand that was shaking. He'd forgotten the rest of the research at this point. What? Hiro's eyes focused, lighted on the tube. His face was flushed, and his hair tousled. No! Good. Wufei hurled it across the room with some satisfaction at the pointless, violent gesture, and smiled coldly as it hit the door, then the floor, with a small plunk. He quickly spread the gel over his erection. The feel of his slick fingers, the cold of the gel, the sight of the twitching flesh all collided in his mind and sent a hot ball of need shooting straight back to his groin. He lay back down on the wiry body, felt hands grip his shoulders again. Senses narrowing, he barely felt himself lean an arm into the mattress for balance. The other hand on his erection, guiding it blindly into Hiro. Breath exploded from him at the first push, harder than he'd thought. He was dimly aware that Hiro had tensed beneath him. He was more aware of Hiro's hands, though, because one of them was threatening to break his collarbone. But he still pushed again, against the pressure, despite the squeezing of his flesh. It became a bit easier, and in fits and starts, he managed to fit in. The hands were leaving bruises on his shoulders, a reminder he wasn't by himself in this. He tried to focus on Hiro's face. It was shut with a scowl, eyes turned inward in concentration. Wufei couldn't tell if his expression was one of pain or pleasure. Wufei was still for a few seconds, trying to convince himself he would be able to move. A little piece of advice about letting the other man adjust flitted through his mind as well, and held him still for a few seconds more, just as he was about to go ahead and try. He dropped the hand he wasn't using for support to Hiro's hip to pin him down, and pulled back, young muscles arching and straining. Hiro's pants hitched and caught, then resumed. The hands on his shoulders loosened their death grip slightly. He moved in again. Oh, yes. He moved out and thrust again, desperately trying to recapture that exquisite pull and pressure that had teased every pleasure center in his body. Oh, gods. Hands wouldn't do much for him. After this. His world narrowed and focused on that motion, that friction plunging him into waves of sensation, crashing into him, stronger and stronger, higher and higher. Something intruded, barely, as Hiro's hand dropped from his shoulder to poke him in the side, worm between their bodies. Wufei arched away from the distraction, and a rainbow of sensations hit him as Hiro cried out and tightened around him, just as he was thrusting in. Wufei choked at the increase in pressure, pleasure, everything. He thrust again, but the muscles had relaxed slightly. Not that it wasn't good anyway. He blinked, something stinging his eye. Sweat. His vision cleared a bit. He was arched away from the body shuddering and panting beneath his own, and Hiro's hand was gripping his erection, slick and red. Wufei stared, fascinated, as his own body continued plunging into Hiro's, hunting after every wisp of pleasure it could drag from the tightness and warmth. Hiro was shuddering, and every shift in stance spoke of his own rush, his own need to catch every fraction of sensation he could. Wufei groaned. The sight was bypassing his mind, which had pretty much shut down anyway, and hammering directly into his more primal responses, urging him along with the sensations from his groin to move faster, harder, go further, and get more, more, more. Time stretched and hardened like beams of toffee. Wufei couldn't say how long he'd been driving into the warmth beneath him. Probably not long at all. But every time he thought to linger in the pleasure, Hiro would gasp and tighten around him again, and hurl him up to a new level. He'd try to cling to that, but then his own stance shifted as the muscles clenched, and the change of position brought him even higher, and he was racing forward, towards the crest of the wave, unable to resist the inevitable climb upward. The wave slammed into him, pounding him into his component atoms, orbiting around the release he was pumping into the shivering warmth around him. His ragged breathing was ringing in his head like a bell. He'd sunk down against his supporting arm and was lying against the hot body beneath his, twisted a bit to one side to avoid crushing it. A hiss. It seemed to come from a long distance away, and Wufei's warm pillow jerked and tensed, jolting his eyes open. The muscles surrounding his cock tightened wildly, and Wufei groaned, overly sensitive flesh complaining at having even more pleasure inflicted upon it. He half-heartedly tried to pull away, but Hiro's legs were locked around his upper thighs, holding him in place. A rich, organic smell prickled his nose, and he became aware of the scent of Hiro's sweat, his skin, his hair, the way he panted, his chest shuddering beneath Wufei, a puddle of warm wetness where their skin met. The beep of communicators. They beeped before, he realized, But it had been at the edge of his awareness, and so far back in the queue of things that were important to him at that point, the comms might just as well have been shot out of the airlock for all they mattered. Hiro grunted and made a loose gesture with his arm, then groaned and rolled over a little. Wufei made an inhuman effort and pulled away, wincing with loss and pleasure at the little ripple of sensations this caused. He ignored Hiro fishing around his spandex for the comm and flopped face down into the prickly brown cover, maneuvering to free his partner's leg. He could hear Hiro pause and regulate his breathing, after several attempts. Then the communicator was flipped open. Yui. Hiro? It was Catra's voice, barely heard from Wufei's position face down on the bed and deep in post-coital coma. We have something up on the radar. Could be the next wave of attacks. Catra sounded tense, but also excited. He'd been bored too, Wufei remembered. How long? Hiro asked, voice distracted. Wufei turned his head the other way and looked at his partner, seated on the side of the bed. Hiro had one hand holding the comm. The other was using a corner of the blanket to clean up his stomach. About 30 minutes away. Do you know where Wufei is? I tried calling him, too.
Yes, he's around here somewhere.
Hiro glanced back at him and gave the minute smirk, which was his equivalent of a smile.
He's meditating.
Wufei closed his eyes and extracted one of his hands from beneath his body to give Hiro the finger, which he thought was ample enough a response. Hiro snorted, the noise covering Catra's next question.
Yes, I'll get him. We'll be there ASAP.
He closed the comm, without waiting for any further question. Stood up, slowly, and stretched. Yawned. Wufei's eyes twitched open, instinctively, at the shift of weight off the bed. He found his gaze lingering over the strong back, the firm buttocks. Then his mind slowly started to drag itself back into the real world.
You okay?
He asked abruptly, his warrior instincts tallying up the possible consequences of their wild ride. Hiro seemed to consider the question, eyes turned inward.
Yes, mild soreness, but nothing that will impact my performance.
Good. Apparently, he'd managed to do it right. Although Hiro's above-average tolerance to pain might have more to do with it than Wufei's inexperienced and hasty preparation. Wufei used the cover to wipe off lube and semen absently, still watching, fascinated, as his partner started getting dressed with quick, fluid movements. His own comm hadn't beeped again. Apparently, Catra had bought Hiro's meditation excuse.
That was some meditation, the annoying little inner voice crowed, still with a guttersnipe twang to it.
Think Catra will continue to buy it when he sees what state you're both in? Wufei muttered a curse. Hiro turned towards him, pulling down his tank top, a questioning look in his eyes.
Better tell the others we were sparring, in case they wonder about that, Wufei grumbled, as he pointed to the bright red splotches on Hiro's neck.
Hiro felt the spot, scowled, his own eyes flickered over Wufei, who quickly waved a hand. I'll drop by my quarters and pick up my jacket, he said, before Hiro had a chance to point out the state of his bruised shoulders.
That will do. We'll be more careful next time, Hiro added absently, as he bent to tie his boots.
Next time? Wufei pulled on his top, with one swift movement. Do you think it's likely we'll have time to do this again before things come to a head? Hiro paused, thinking.
The frequency of attacks is going to increase exponentially the closer we get to Libra, and Zex will undoubtedly confront me again with Epion soon. So no, probably not.
His voice was indifferent.
That's what I thought, Wufei grunted, tightening his belt and walking to the door.
Let's go see if Marquis managed to find us some serious opposition this time.
Chang?
He turned towards Hiro, who was following him. Wings Pilot's eyes were hard, already burning with the heat of battle, and the smile on the lips was feral.
Wufei found that gaze focused on him for a few seconds. Don't die easy. Wufei snorted, returned the hard smile. I have a score to settle first. Just get Zex out of my way, Yui. That's all I ask. Hi, Hiro preceded him out the door. Wufei took one last look at the small room, wondering if they should do something with the soiled and rumpled bed cover. Then, deciding that since Peace Million itself had a good chance of being reduced to scrap metal in the coming days, he needn't bother. He stared at the bed, glanced at the tube of lube near his feet, felt a new pulse starting in his veins, battle fever rising. Neither he nor Hiro, nor any of the others, were complaining that they were 16 and about to die. Everyone died. And this? He closed the door to the room behind him and stepped towards battle. Was the way to do it, a path worthy of them. He lengthened his stride and fell in step with Hiro as they headed towards the command deck, side by side.